Hello, everyone. This is Alex, Tom's oldest daughter from Two Dads Talking. Thanks for listening to my daddy and his friend Doug's podcast. And please like, share, and subscribe to this. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Dads Talking. Iteration number stalling for time 25?
No, like 24, probably.
24.
24. There we go.
He said as he looked it up before I did.
No, I've got a different screen up now. I probably should have clicked over and looked, but we just looked at it like 3 minutes ago. So,
yeah. Well, one thing we were talking about earlier tonight is Tom was sitting there telling me, I don't know if we ever really ascertained that you were the stupider one. And once again, I feel like we have clear, concise evidence. Oh, I just looked at it 3 minutes ago. I can remember numbers. My name's Tom.
See, you say that, but now we're going to realize that I forgot to upload one of these and we're actually on 25. And I'm going to be the stupid one who also forgot to upload an episode and you were going to be right all along. And that, you know,
well,
puts the ball back in my court.
We won't count your vlog stuff. Anyway, we'll get it out. Let's make sure we get this on the front end of the show, too. Like us, review us, rate us, all that fun stuff. I think we crossed over 850 downloads.
We did. Yep.
Like today. So today was the release of Timothy Oliphant, The Toy Box Killer, or the How You Break is Important. And and yeah, we crossed over 850 total. So thank you, guys. That's actually really awesome. I know for a fact, I don't think either of us planned to be here. I didn't think we would have any chance of even sniffing like 500 until we got into, you know, even more episodes. So this is great.
Yeah, it turns out you guys have been a real great, real supportive crowd, and we appreciate it. We have listeners in Nigeria and Russia and Ireland, and I'm just, you know, if you're one of those people and you're not listening in the continental United States, I would love for you to say hi on Facebook and just, you know, a picture of where you are and show us where you're at. It would just be neat. I'm on some Facebook groups with some dads from all around the globe, but I don't see enough pictures from places around the globe. So share some pictures, share some moments. Don't put your kids in there. You know, I'm not a big fan of putting my kids' pictures in social media, but by all means, put a selfie up there. Take a shot of something in your backyard. Let us know where you're at.
Especially you, feds. We know you're listening. There were four of you from an unknown spot this time. Just send us a group photo. It's fine. Any boarded up building will do. I believe you could be in any one of them.
And at any point now, one of them is going to headbag us during the podcast recording. And it's, you know, I'm going to trust that my wife will upload the episode and let it live on forever.
I was going to say, I could leave little handwritten instructions like number one, press end. Number two, upload to drive. Just so maybe one of them will be feeling nice and upload it for us. It'd be great content for a second.
If they're headbagging us, I don't think they're going to be too worried about being considerate at the end. It's not really on the menu.
You know, Tom, that is so judgmental of you. They are people too.
Oh, boy. Well, so by now, we've got Patreon. We've got updated merchandise. We've got show-specific things. Take a look at what we've got. See if, you know, you're interested in contributing, you know, $3 a month, $5 a month, something to help us keep going and to pay for the cost of the show. It does cost money, and it would be nice if we didn't pay for it all out of pocket. So if you're enjoying it, feel free to join our Patreon. We've got some things on there that are just for our Patreon supporters. We're talking about adding some new stuff on there. And by the time this episode releases in, what, 2027, we should have some really awesome stuff on there. So take a look. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. We really do appreciate it. And we did not prepare for tonight's episode at all. So enjoy a more or less spontaneous episode of Tom and Doug proving that Tom is the dumb one and that Doug carries the weight of the show.
Did you just call me fat?
No, I called you strong boned.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. The you know, don't tell them that we're not spontaneous all the time. That makes it sound like we're planning ahead and being structured.
Well, we're usually pretty spontaneous in the sense that we start with a topic and end up 10 miles away. We're never anywhere where we intend to be.
Well, one thing to get us going here was we have a dad shout out from the shoot aside tonight. John Hansen in California, he shared with us this little news article update. We'll link it in the show notes, but it was Here it is. Let me get the exact title. So some fans at Frigid Chiefs playoff game underwent amputations, hospital confirms. And I'm going to interrupt because surprise.
Ooh, look who we've got jumping in. I was not warned that this was going to happen. I love this surprise.
I was just kidding about not knowing what to do. What's up, Will?
What's up, buddy?
Wilbur, good to see you, bud.
What are you doing, man?
We're just making asses of ourselves on a podcast. What are you doing?
Just got done with some canine training and talked to your buddy earlier about surprising you tonight.
I wish he'd have picked the night where his internet connection didn't suck. I really wish he had.
We're pretty sure it's mine. But see, it's good. Now, if I just drop off the face of the earth, there's still entertainment here.
That's true. So for those who don't know who this is, we're talking to, should I give your whole name? Do you want to keep part of that out in case anything comes up you don't want coming up professionally?
We'll keep out the full government name. We'll go with Will.
All right. So Will was a former colleague of mine when I was Leo back in the day when I was a police officer. He was my training officer and then ran my district when I finally got out of training and was on midnights. He was him and one other guy pretty much went stomping around most of that city with and got into most of our trouble with. So he taught me to kind of go at it all gung-ho and not give a shit. And it worked out pretty well, which was good.
Oh, we had some fun nights for sure.
Yeah.
And Will is here because he has some fodder, some Tom stories that sounded like they'd be worth hearing.
We're going to release this on my birthday, aren't we?
I wish I had some time to actually look up some of the old DORs, man. But, you know, we always talk about as cops that, you know, we could write books. But, you know, why not just say it on a podcast, right?
Yeah, same thing. Still, you know, it's still writing a book. We're just doing with the oral tradition of our ancestors. We'll go that way.
Yeah. So I was trying to tell you about that one earlier where you were wrestling with a female. So
yeah, I don't remember this at all. I'm so glad you do in such detail because I do not remember this story.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad too. Let's do this.
My memory is terrible, but this is one I remember. So we went to a domestic like a week prior, and I ended up arresting this female. She was definitely the aggressor, and we had to go back to the same residence a week later. And then I had you, Gamash, as my trainee. And I told you, I said, she doesn't like me, so you're gonna have to deal with her. And I think I told you, I gave you the kind of the wink, wink that you had to place her under arrest. And you ended up wrestling her and rolling around on the bed with her, trying to arrest her. And I just watched you and laughed.
Sounds about right. Was it good for her? I mean, I don't remember it, so I'm hoping it was good for her.
You know, I didn't ask. You know, that's really not part of the questions.
I don't remember that at all. I remember a lot of the trouble I got into when I was on FTO with you. I remember a lot of it very well because you were like, hey, you know, I heard you're pretty squared away, so I'm just going to see what you got and let you do things. And you didn't put the kids' gloves on at all. You just let me go at it, which was cool. And I remember
you
a lot
did,
of stuff.
Man. You were right out of the gate, man. You were good to go, man. And, you know, I just showed you some of the stuff that I learned over the years. And you were an easy trainee for sure.
See, I used to be good at stuff, Doug. I really did. There used to be things I was good at.
This isn't nearly as fun as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Bash Tom night.
Hold on. He's got some zingers to bash me, I'm sure.
So we can't tell this whole story, but I'll tell the story. So we had this area of our city. It was like brand new, and it was just the pride of the city. And they had a foot pursuit in that area. Gamash, are you starting to remember this?
Oh, I remember this one very well. I just didn't want to tell this one because of the sergeant that was involved at the end. I didn't want to get him in trouble for anything.
We're going to leave a little bit of this out. So Gamash and I, we're at booking because we're on an arrest already. And we come all the way from booking in for... You know, we got, what, about 15, 20-minute drive to get there.
Yeah,
and somehow this guy, you know, you got 15, 20 officers chasing this guy, and they can't catch him. And somehow you and I come all the way from booking, and we're just driving down this road, and there he is. And I'll never forget. I yelled at you, get him, boy. And I threw you out of the car.
Yep.
While it was still moving. And it was the first time I ever heard, I got one at Taser Point.
Not gunpoint, taser point.
Taser point. And I jump out of the car.
Failures to kill.
I jump out of the car and I'll go over and tackle the guy on the ground, and you know, we get him in cuffs and nobody gets hurt or anything. But yeah, that was good stuff.
I remember exactly how we found that guy. They were calling out the foot pursuit as we were leaving, and I didn't know the city very well yet. So for those listening, I didn't live in the same city I was a police officer. I lived about 15 minutes away, and we're coming back up from booking, and they're calling out this foot pursuit, and someone says, oh, I lost him cutting through here and here. And I remember Will going, I know exactly where that motherfucker's going. Watch this. And he turned the lights off and hit the side roads. And he was right. He knew exactly where this guy was trying to go. He had it dead right. And he's not kidding. He literally pulled up. I mean, didn't even stop the car first. Like, he was driving and said, all right, go get him, and just kept rolling. And the door opened and I bounced out of the car. And yeah, he didn't even stop the thing for me. Just go get him, Dwayne. Just go get him.
Yeah. Tuck and roll, man.
Yep. Dad, you know, the vest on softens the blow. It's fine.
It worked out that I was, you know, born and raised here. So just it worked out. Yeah. You got any ones that you remember from our day?
Oh, man, like a million of them. He, Will was my guy for DUIs. We talked in episode
14.
14 was where we talked about that. Yep.
Smashing the median because it had a double meaning.
Because that was your DUI. You're right. I love going after DUIs, and Will was kind of same page, and he was happy I liked going after it. And we used to just go, I mean, we'd chase him all night. If it was quiet, that's what we were both doing. And we'd rack up, you know, 5-6 DUIs a month, easy. And I remember one night we got this girl in this car, and it was back on this little side street. And she was not a particularly attractive young lady, but, you know, she's trying to be all sweet and seductive and flirtatious. She gives us a name, and I was still pretty new. And, you know, she gives us the name. We can't find the name, and it doesn't come back as the registered owner. And the driver's license, she didn't have a driver's license on her. She didn't have any ID that was credible. And I remember we could not figure out who this girl was. And we didn't pull over for anything huge. I think it was the problem with the plates, if I remember right. It wasn't like we thought she was drunk that night, but something was going on, and we pulled her over, and she couldn't identify herself. And I remember thinking, like, okay, this sweet, innocent girl, like, you know, whatever. She's, you know, she's dumb and she's stupid. And she's playing this card for sure. But I want to go find a real drunk driver. I want to go get some guns. I want to go get some drugs. Like, why am I wasting my time with this girl? And Will was like, no, this woman's lying to us. There's a reason she's not identifying. I'm like, all right. Well, can we just write her a ticket for, you know, something? He's like, no, we're going to figure this out. We sat there for like 30 minutes, and he dug through records and pulled up pictures and searched. I still to this day don't know how he figured out who she was. But eventually he figures out who she is and walks up to her and says to her, all right, I know who you are. It's not who you said you were. You're such and such. And then she starts trying to, like, offer him things, like favors. And she's like, oh, well, if you just let me go. Like, she changed from being sweet and innocent and lost to, like, you know, I'll do things for you. And he was like, that's not how we're playing this. Get out of the car. And then she changed and told us all about her boyfriend, was the 36 Bang Squad, like the OG. Yeah. You remember that girl?
Yeah.
Is this the head girl?
This is the head girl, yes.
Yeah,
she went off. And she went from, like, this sweet, innocent girl to, as soon as he told her she was under arrest, she dropped. I mean, she sounded like a sailor on leave. She was just filthy mouth and foul. And she went on she was throwing symbols up, and it was just hilarious. Like, do you know who I suck? 36 Bang Squad. And she kept it up all the way downtown to booking. It was priceless. I just remember him digging in and be like, no, I'm going to find out who this chick is. And I was like, man, I want to go find a real arrest. He's like, this is a real arrest. Trust me, there's something here. And I didn't buy it. And sure enough, like, you know, he taught me some persistence is necessary in that line of work. That was good.
Oh, good times. Man, I remember that one.
That was a wild one. That one was real wild. We had a lot of good ones. Most of them were DUIs. We had a lot of good DUIs together. Once I got
out of FTO. We had a crew, man.
We did. We had a real good crew in our district.
Yeah. We had that 3 or 4 mile stretch, man. You just went northbound, made a U-turn, went southbound, made a U-turn, and we all had them by the end of the night.
Yep. As long as you were putting effort in, you know, it was real easy to find a DUI or drugs. And I would say about one car in every 5 you pulled over had a firearm in it. So that there's that too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hell of a city.
Yes.
One way to say it.
Exactly.
So you're with the canine still. You're still doing the canine thing.
Doing the canine thing, man. My buddy will celebrate his 5th birthday this year.
Nice.
So, yeah. Amazing dog. He's a patrol dog, and he's explosives as well. So thank goodness he's a passive dog, or, you know, if we find explosives, it'll only be the one time.
Yeah, let's not turn him into a hot dog. We don't need that.
Right.
How's the city been? It's I feel like I used to get a lot of news updates, and ever since the school shooting with the teacher getting shot, I don't think I've gotten a whole lot of updates from the city popping up in my news feed. Anything calmed down, or is it still the same old, same old?
We set a record last year for homicides. For the first time, it went above 40. It's, you know, we're solving them, but, you know, that really, for me, that doesn't matter if people are dying. So it's a lot of some of the laws. I think it kind of started when the marijuana became legalized here. They kind of really slowed down a lot of the stops where we got a lot of guns off of people. So it's been a struggle, man, but it's still the same city, man. It's just building up more in the downtown area. So you ain't missing nothing. Trust me.
You kidding me? That was some of the most fun nights of my life. That job was the most fun job I've ever had. There was a time where I got real cynical and there was a time where it was really weighing on me. But that period of time aside, like, that was the most fun I've ever had with a job in my life. And I got to go home feeling good about it, which was something, you know.
It's never a dull moment. And, you know, we were a family on that shift. Not necessarily that way anymore. It's a very young department now. But yeah, man, we were a family, dude. We did a lot of stuff and, you know, outside of work, and it was a good time.
Yeah, I miss that. There was a camaraderie there that I haven't really seen outside of the military. I haven't seen anywhere else.
Right.
Especially not on these podcasts. God, I got to put up with this co-host on this freaking podcast. I swear to God, Will, he's the worst. This guy drives me nuts.
I mean, he set this up, man, so he can't be so bad.
No, he's good people. I don't see myself doing a podcast like this with too many people. He's definitely good people.
I got you.
I can hear you guys. I'm right here.
Right. Are you still doing the stand-up thing?
I did the one, and I was going to do another one in April. I was asked if I could push it back a little bit to June. And yeah, I'm going to do another one. It's just a matter of setting it up for when. So it's something I want to do probably two or three times a year. At least I had a lot of fun when I did it. So just a matter of getting the right time, getting the timing down. There's been a lot going on here, and it's just been crazy.
Gotcha, man. That's awesome.
But if I make it down that way to the there's a little comedy club down there off of Warwick Boulevard, if I remember right. If I make it down that way and get a book, I'll let you guys
know. Comedies, yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe I try and set something up there after I get a couple more under my belt.
Yeah, man. Do it, man. You got a place to stay at my place.
It'd be a business expense. I could rake that off. That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And the kiddo, I see him smashing baseballs on Facebook every once in a while.
Man, I'll tell you what. He's in my phone as retirement plan for a reason. Yeah, he's doing good, man. Just started up his freshman year on varsity. First game of the year, he put one off the fence. So we're going to start seeing better pitching here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll see how far he can launch one.
Well, hopefully he hits one all the way to Connecticut, and I can catch it and, you know, get myself an autographed ball. Just, you know, tell him to put his hips into it.
I mean, that's a long drive, Bob. That's a long drive. So. Yeah, you come on down here to Kazi's. Yeah, he'll autograph something for you.
I'm good with that. I'll get it before he's known, before people know who he is.
That's right. It's worth more money then.
I'll be down that way sometime next month for a business trip. I'll be there for a day. I'm trying to be there for like 2 days. If I can stretch it out for 2 or 3 days, I'll let you know and hit you up.
Yeah, man, you holler at me, dude. Like I said, we'll put you under our roof, man. So.
Sounds good, man. Any more embarrassing stories you want to tell? I know Doug wants something way more slanderous than that.
Man, I was just telling my wife, I wish if I had a little more time, I was going to go through some old DORs and find some good stories, man. But those are the two that I told, is the only ones I can remember at the moment with you specifically.
So, question for the stupid non-cop in the room. What's DOR?
Daily Observation Report.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah,
can be. It's like a journal of what he watches me screw up every single day while I'm in training.
Yeah. It's like a daily report card, if you will.
Gotcha. So.
And the officer I had for day shift wasn't nearly as kind about, you know, his DORs as Will was, but he was also mad because I wanted to go out and arrest people and do things and not just sit there with a LIDAR gun and a radar gun all day.
I already know who you're talking about.
Yep, I'm sure you remember.
Yeah.
The only person that ever told me to do my job less in my entire life. This guy was like, slow it down, pace yourself. You're doing too much. What?
Wow.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, man.
Well, good to see you, man.
Yeah. Good to see you, brother. I'm going to cut out, man. It's been a long day. I started about 6 a.m. So.
All right, man. Get some sleep. Yeah. Tell the missus I said hi.
Yeah, she's right here.
Oh, is she safe to be on camera?
Yeah.
Hi, Savannah.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
You too.
She probably turns it back.
Yeah, enough of that.
All right, good to meet you, Doug.
You too, Will. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, bro.
Good seeing you, man. Talk to you soon.
Landry.
Man, that was cool. That was a cool surprise. I'm good.
Yeah. So I just go behind your back because I'm such a great friend. Just start doing all these things that I'm telling you.
I'm all right with that. Okay, my time as a police officer, I've got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
I will say
Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
I always tried to do that job with integrity between like my dad having to talk with me before I started it and just the current climate when I was doing it. And then I had some really good guys bringing me along, like Will, a guy named Scan, who was Scan was a little bit more of an antagonist, but he was the guy I spent most of my nights stomping around town with after I was off training.
Anti-hero. The anti-hero is a great word.
he was like me. He liked when somebody wanted to pick a fight. Like he was happy to get there. If somebody wanted to pick a fight, he was happy to be there and fight that wolf. So, but no, Will's right. Like, we had a really good squad and our sergeants were really good. Yeah, that was a good team. That was fun. If I hadn't had my daughter when I had my daughter, I would have stayed with that line of work. That was really, really good.
Good. So where were we?
I have no idea.
I was giving a shout out to John.
That's where you were, yep.
Which probably will have been cut out the way the timing worked out on that. So here we are. Okay. Well, again, we were just starting. Welcome to Doodads Talking. We had Will come on. And
the surprise, Tom.
One of my good buddies, he's out in California. His name is John Hansen. He sent us this article about I think it was at the Dolphins Chiefs game. So it's not really football talk, but it's football adjacent. That game was so cold that they had multiple people going to the hospital for frostbite because of just how bad it was. And let me see if I can find it, but there was something like 80% of the people who got treated at the local hospitals for frostbite were recommended for amputations because it was that bad. And this was just from wanting to be at a game. Here it was. So it was, the temperature was -4 degrees Fahrenheit.
What was the wind chill? It had to be like -20, right?
It said the wind chill got to -27 Fahrenheit. And that was far and away the new coldest game at Arrowhead. So let me see if I can find the actual numbers. There wasn't any numbers in this article, but yeah, it was something like X number of people got sent, 80% or like having. The reason I bring this up is, first of all, shout out, Dad's sending us material because apparently we need it. And this is just one of those. I just imagine if I was somehow one of these people attending any events, sporting or otherwise, out in the cold, and I'm all revved up to do it, and I lose an arm, you know, or a foot or something like that because of frostbite, and people go, "Hey, mister, how'd you lose your hand?" I want it to be something like, you know, war, or I got into a fight with a bear.
Right.
But instead it's like, I went to an NFL playoff game, and also maybe it's like my team lost, or I had to go to the hospital before the end of the game because I was seizuring in the stands from being too cold, woke up without a hand.
Did you get into a fight with the other team's fans? Is that what happened? Somebody bit off your fingers? No, I got cold.
No, I took my shirt off. I had 3 beers. I got really excited. They said this was thermal body paint. They lied to me.
So I found some numbers for you. The number that I see is 70% of people who had to seek medical assistance for frostbite are now facing amputation.
That's just ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous to me. Anyway. That's one of our little updates. I can't remember the other thing we were going to talk about.
I don't know. Now I'm reading about people losing their fingers. It's bringing back painful memories. I feel like I should tell some more police stories now, but I should plan those out and probably save them for a cohesive podcast if I want to share them.
Well, I was the DUI talk reminded me of something that I was actually telling my wife earlier about it, just because we were having one of those discussions about being younger and just how things were. And it, one of our little, I guess, pseudo fun facts was that it seems we frequented a lot of the same after hours establishments at the same time. There was probably plenty of times when we were in the same room together without even knowing it. And the real funny joke is if we had actually met each other at any one of these points, we probably wouldn't have gotten married because I know I was, I thought I might've been, but I was not ready to get married then. And I'm sure it would have been like, oh yeah, that guy, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with that guy. But one of the stories that, because she was talking about someone who she found out later, he was not all that he cracked up to be. He was actually just secretly trying to do what a lot of guys at such establishments do, just trying to get you to a certain spot and that's it. And so I was telling a story about how I was doing my own after hours lurking, my little phase doing that. And I had someone, she was, you know, do you want to come home with me? Yeah, actually I do. And okay, fine. You follow me home. Great. Just make sure I get home. Great. And at one point it was bad the whole way, like using the whole lane, using some of the other lane next to it. And I'm behind her starting to get more and more freaked out. Like she's just going to run off the road at some point. There's a spot where there's a bridge going over the river in that local area. And the way the bridge is set up is there's the left turn lane, and then there's the two lanes that go straight, and then it expands to that right turn only lane. And the road that it turns onto each way is only like, I think it's only three lanes on the one side, but it's one of those kind of fairly regular, like north-south kind of streets for a lot of local traffic. And she's in the going straight lane on the bridge at the very last second, pulls over into the right turn. Like she must've realized that she's at this light now. And then she makes her right turn and she turns all the way into both the left turn lane and the going straight lane, the other direction.
Oh,
on a right turn on this bridge. She also started to stop at first at the green light right before she made this turn. So this was like the, wow, you are so far gone. You didn't just miss one lane. You basically missed two lanes and you went right into on what would have been oncoming traffic, but there was nobody on the road. Thank goodness. Let's just say I've never prayed for someone else to get home safely who I was following with what started with nefarious intentions. I was just worried that at that point I was praying for her not to drive off the road, fall into the river. And then I'm like, well, what do I do? I'm not going to leave her to die here. And I didn't want to have to deal with that crap.
How cold was it? Would you have been facing an amputation if you had to go in the water?
Unfortunately, no.
Chiefs cold?
No, I think it was summer. And, but she makes it back, pulls into her driveway. And I'm so freaking done with that, with this at this point. I don't want anything to do with this chick ever again. Like I'm going to end up being like on a suspect list just because I was the last person to see her alive. So she stumbles over and goes, so you want to come in? And I just go, you know, I'm kind of tired. I think I'm just going to go home. And she was super confused.
Yep. I want to go have an alibi.
You're right. You followed me all the way home. This is, you know how scared I was? I didn't even get out of the car. I just pulled the car up. It was still running and I rolled the window down. She's like, you want to come in? I'm like, nope. Have a good night. So that was what that reminded me of, was that story. Just, man.
So the story I thought Will was going to tell, since we're selling driving stories, I had been on for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years at this point. Probably a little over 2 years. And there was a guy I pulled over on this, one of the main roads in that city. And he waits till I get up like near the back door. And then just, I'm walking up on his car after I pulled him over and he just floors it and takes off. Almost runs over my foot. Like, you know, I run back to my car. I take off after him. I call him the foot pursuit. And the one thing I was really proud of myself of as a police officer is that I stayed super calm. I was very in the yellow. When I was in a foot pursuit or vehicle pursuit, I stayed calm. I kept the voice cool. And it wasn't because I was just such a badass warrior that I wasn't excited. It was that where we were, if you were in a foot pursuit or if you were in a car pursuit rather, and I'm in a vehicle pursuit and I'm calling my radio and I sound nervous or excited or flustered, the sergeant's going to get out and be like, stop, terminate your pursuit. We don't want anyone to crash. Just stop. But if you sound super cool and collected and you got your stuff together, they let you keep chasing. So I learned very early on, like when you're in a vehicle pursuit, you keep that really calm voice. Doesn't matter if your heart is going 180 beats a minute, you talk like this. So this guy pulls, just peels out, almost runs me over. I get back to my car 3214 vehicle pursuit, heading northbound. We just made a right turn on Cannon, and we're flying down this road. And the road he had turned on, it goes toward that city. Gosh, I don't want to give it away. I have people listening know where I was a cop. It goes back toward that city center that Will was talking about. That's like the pride and joy of the city. And it's a pretty long straight road, but it's going back into that like main business district of the center of the city. And this guy got his car going up over 100 miles an hour on this stretch. It's like a 4-lane road, got a median between, and he was gunning it. And I'm behind him, like 3214. We're doing about 110 miles an hour. Weather's clear, roads are dry, no other vehicles in the road, no pedestrians, continuing pursuit. 3214, we've now hit 115 miles an hour. Suspect is approximately 50 feet in front of me. Road conditions are still good. I'm cool, I'm calm. And I'm in the middle of giving an update. This gentleman didn't realize, he didn't know apparently where he was going, or he was so excited he wasn't thinking. He didn't realize that the road we were going down eventually ended in a T intersection with a parking lot for a very big company. And there was this giant raised median, you know, when you got to the end of the road before their big parking lot. And he didn't realize that. So I'm in the middle of pursuit. I didn't realize how close we were to it because it was pitch black. It's like, oh, 3214. We're
in your seatbelt.
3214. Doing about 100 miles an hour. He's pulling ahead of me. I think we're nearing. Holy shit, he's airborne. Like on the radio. This is all recorded. Holy shit, he's airborne. This guy hit this median going 100 plus miles an hour. And you see this stuff in movies and you laugh because you're like, that doesn't happen. When a car is
that's ridiculous.
Then, it's not how it works, right? This guy hit this thing at 100 miles an hour, went airborne. This thing crashed down into the parking lot so hard that we measured the distance he went from the end of his tire tracks in the raised grass area of the median. And then when he hit the parking lot, he hit so hard the frame dug down and carved gouges in the concrete in the parking lot. So you had a very clear, this is where he left the earth and this is where he came back down to it. And it was like a 35-foot gap. It was unbelievable. And that was one of my favorite ones. I thought Will was going to talk about that because I caught a lot of crap for like a month. I'd walk into a room and somebody'd be like, he's airborne! And I had to deal with
it. He's up to the air. He's fine.
But I was just so cool and calm and collected. And then I remember going, holy shit, he's airborne. No one had a clue what I was talking about. Any sense of being, you know, clear and descriptive went out the window. And then when we caught the guy, he tried to tell me he wasn't driving the car. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was fun.
I don't know. Why would people give you crap for that? Is that just a cop thing? Like they just find any reason to get some shit on you? Because
But if you look at it in the terms of the officers who are listening, so when you get a vehicle pursuit or you get a foot pursuit, like the officer is being put in danger. You know, if I'm doing 100 miles an hour in the pitch black night in my car, this guy just put me in danger. And when you get something like that and they hold traffic on the radio and there's what we call a signal one is when an officer needs assistance right away. When something like that happens, everybody on your team, the camaraderie there is really hard to describe. It's a lot like when I was in the military, but it's amplified. It's even stronger than when I was in the military, to be honest. People are legitimately worried for that officer. And people are hitting the gas and they're trying to get there as fast as they can. So they're at this really, really agitated state. They're feeling the stress. They're feeling the pressure. Their heart's racing. They're very tense. There's a lot of anxiety. And there's a desire to get there and help this officer before the worst happens, just in case. So when you go from that, and then you have such a dramatic flip, like I just did, I mean, that's going from like this extreme anxiety to, oh my God, Gamash sounds like a 12-year-old girl. What happened? It's just such an extreme change that I'd imagine you can't help but laugh. And it's just got to stick, you know?
So. Is it just like, yeah, zeroed in and then like, well, that doesn't help me. I'm trying to get to you, bro.
It's probably that. But also like the level of concern for me probably gets to go away for the first time in a couple of minutes too. And they can really kind of appreciate the situation.
I guess. I'm just sitting here thinking like I'm the non-cop person. And I'm like, that feels kind of normal.
Yeah. There's a lot of razzing and that job.
We're going straight towards the city center and I do declare it appears he hit the median and has put the vehicle above the ground.
I would have caught a lot more crap for that.
He's traveling at a oblong type of arc. He has landed 2 bounces. Here we go.
I think I would have caught more crap for that one. Yeah.
I would try to find a call you like the if you were like district 72 or something, your nickname would be like the 72nd Airborne or something like that. That's what I would do. It wouldn't be crap, though.
We had plenty of nicknames. At the end of the day, everybody did mean well. That was the nice thing. Like, you caught a lot of crap and you gave your guys a lot of crap, but none of it was mean-spirited. I mean, even the people that you there were a couple officers you didn't like and you didn't want to work with, but even with them, like, at the end of the day, no one else is out there making sure officers get to go home at the end of the night. So all the officers have to make sure that the officers go home at the end of the night, you know? And that's always focus one.
That's cool.
Good to see Will. I miss that guy. All right. Do we want to do any top threes? We didn't prep for that at all tonight. Do we just want to go to dad jokes? What do we want to do here?
I don't know. I was going to say I have a dad related thing with, well, because we're on, are you on spring break now from school?
Not this week.
Your school, Tom, not your kid's school.
No, it's not this week. I don't know when exactly it is, but I know my kids only have like one full week this entire friggin' month.
Oh, really?
That vexes me greatly.
Really? Well, that's where we're at right now. We're on the spring break. And, well, luckily we actually had a nice day here, but next couple of days, but it started out cold too. And it's our, well, like everything else with kindergarten, it's our first spring break. And I am a little bit unsure of if I like the fact that daylight savings happened at the beginning of it or not. And this is something I would love to hear from other dads from this, you know, dropping us a line on our Facebook or an email or something like that. If you just even have anything, any general advice around this, because jumping the clocks an hour forward means we could not convince our girls to go into bed at the exact same clock time as before. It just wasn't going to work. And so part of me is happy that this happened on a spring break, because then we get to slowly scale them back a little bit as we get towards the when school kicks back up again. And also we kind of get to do this, hey, look, you're staying up a little bit later because it's spring break and that makes us super cool parents as far as you're concerned. And I just don't know how you would handle it otherwise if you didn't have the spring break around it, or if you just, it's preferred to have one or two like just bad nights/days with being behind on sleep and then the kid, you know, has to go to sleep because they're exhausted. I just don't know. I'm just curious to hear more about that. If you had any opinions of it or if anyone else does, because I kind of think I like it this way, but it's, you know, first time. So I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't have spring break. We typically don't have spring break during, you know, the leap ahead. We always struggle with the leap ahead. My wife is fond of saying, and I think she's right, that the only people that really suffer with the changes are the parents. The kids don't care. Doesn't seem to phase them at all. At least in my house, doesn't really phase them at all. There might be a little bit of personality and emotional, you know, swing for one day, but the kids bounce back real quick. And we try to put them to bed early if it's going to jump ahead. You know, we try to adjust their bedtime to help compensate for it. But the only real losers ever are the parents. That's just kind of how it works. So we don't have a good way to power through that. We just power through it.
Just do it beforehand. Just anticipate it coming up and pick them the couple of nights before that. That's a good idea. See, there you go. Smarter one comes through in the clutch.
Not my idea. It was my wife's idea. That wasn't me.
I said smarter one. I didn't say it was you.
That's fair.
There's lots of smarter ones around me.
I try to surround myself with smarter ones. I wish our presidents would do the same thing.
No, you did not. We're trying to keep this under an hour. that was the other side of it too. Cause as from the kid's side, I always appreciated a spring break that was later. I usually had ones that were later than, you know, a lot of the other kids. And well, that meant I didn't always get to see some of my other friends, you know, as much on that break. I liked actually having warmer days where I could spend more time outside as a kid. So her having a spring break now made me feel a little bit like, oh, she's not as spoiled as I was with that. So that's a good idea. That might be a good thing to talk about next time, Tom. Our now apparent Biden versus Trump coming up here.
I will get good and fired up on that one. So if we want to go back to fired up, Tom.
We absolutely should not talk about that tonight. As a little sort of precursor to that. I will say that it's extremely upsetting to me that this is what we get. I am not the kind of person who's in one particular politician's corner, like it must be this person on any level, but this is this is not the worst possible race you could have had.
It's amazing to me because for the second time,
I'll ask my CIA buddies when I talk to them later.
As long as it's not the Secret Service, because they're the ones probably right. listening to this episode. This election, I, for three years now, I have been steadfast in the I don't care who runs in 2024. I'm going to vote for if Biden runs, I'm voting for whatever Republican opposes him. Because I am so done with Joe Biden and have been since literally the first year of his election. And then the Republicans went and nominated literally the one person that makes me double back on that and be like, what the fuck?
Yes, no, I can't do that. Exactly.
Like, if you put anybody else there.
I'm finally entertaining. I was like, I just might not do it. I just might not vote.
I'm going to vote, but it's going to be for another third party just to try to help them get another percent, another millionth of a percentage of a vote so that they can maybe in 10 elections actually have a presence added.
I'm going to write in Ralph Nader's ghost.
I'm really tempted to just write in like Sylvester the cat. I really am. No, I'm just so irritated because if either party had put forward literally anyone else, or darn close to it, there were probably three or four names I still would not want to vote for. But anybody outside of like three or four names for either side of this party, you could have just locked my vote in now. And both of them were just like, nah, screw it. We don't care. We don't need to give you a good candidate. This is the best we can muster as a nation to run our nation and be the face of our franchise and protect American people's rights and look out for their interests. This is the best that we're going to do because we like having a puppet here. And this one has a fiery support group and, you know, he'll get us back in power there. I'm so disheartened, disappointed. Pissed off. Yeah, we can have this talk next time. It'll be fiery. I'll make something a little stronger than a Moscow mule.
Well, I mean, an ass drink is perfect for that discussion, though.
Yeah, it probably is, actually. Uh-oh. All right, maybe I should do another Moscow mule next time.
A bigger one. more vodka.
Cheers.
Way more. All right, I think we could get into dad jokes, unless you wanted to try pausing for effect, for editing effect, unless you wanted to try a top three tonight of some sort.
Unless you've got something off the cuff. I don't have anything prepared for it.
I don't either. I'm still so mad that I forgot about the rover on that top three, though. Anyway, no.
I almost sent you a DVD of The Postman. I found my DVD of it. I almost mailed it to you. And I was like, I don't know if he has the capability to play a DVD. Like, some people just don't have DVD players in their houses anymore. It's super old tech. But
you know, after some of the audio in episode 15, I almost sent you my other microphone.
The last one, it sounded really, really good. The last one sounded
good. Yeah. We'll see how it's doing. I think that was maybe when I turned down some of my gain a little bit.
Well, there was a point where I turned mine up as well, and I don't know when we started recording two separate lines, but that might come into play.
That's too. Number 19 is the one I'm working on now. So
okay.
Yeah, let's go to dad jokes. Let's do dad jokes. Feels like a good time. We're trying to be more behaved, especially since we decided next episode we will be very not behaved.
Yeah, next episode is going to be fiery. I was telling someone the other day, somebody came by and talked to me at work. And I was like, yeah, man, wait till the last couple episodes you've recorded actually drop, because I get way more fired up than I've been in the previous like 17, 18 episodes. We just picked topics where I was finally strongly opinionated. I'm no longer like on the fence about each of these topics. So we'll have another fired up one next time. See if people like that or if they like their nice, safe, middle of the road talks better.
Well, I did something really unexpected tonight. You want to know what it is?
I do.
I have a dad joke that is related to one of our discussions tonight. We'll be
in brief. Nice. I wonder if it's related in the same way that mine is.
I hope so.
Go for it.
What do you do with a dismembered friend?
You remember him.
Good job.
Yeah, that one was kind of easy.
Remember him.
I'm glad you had an amputation joke, because I did as well. What do you call a bad amputation job?
Cutting corners.
That's good, but that's not right.
A hand job.
No.
A blown job.
Nope. Your head is way too in the gutter.
Oh, no. My head's exactly where you want it to be with a blown job.
Well, we're getting a little crude this episode. I like that. I'm good with that.
Can I get one more guess?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go into my mind castle real quick. See if we can find something that's correct this time. What do you call a bad amputation job?
Yep.
A cut above the rest.
Oh, this is a bad one. That would be a good one.
But that's the joke, is because normally that's supposed to be good, but like you cut too much off.
No, you can keep trying.
I mean, I have plenty of stupid answers. Chop suey.
This is one I feel like you should get. I'm disappointed you didn't get it already.
Sorry. I'm going to be really upset if I feel like one of the answers I've already given is better than your answer.
So far, no. None of them so far.
A decapitalization. I don't know, Tom. Just make it. Just end this. End this. End this now.
A ripoff. I can't believe you didn't get that one.
I do not accept your answer. That's not an a rip is not an amputation.
That's what makes it a bad amputation job.
That's a dismemberment. That's not an amputation.
An
amputation
only if it's your head.
No. A dismemberment is any member being dissed from you.
You know what the problem?
No wonder I didn't get there. I was being too literal. That's the problem. I'm thinking amputation. It's got to be surgical. It's a cut. It's a deliberate act.
A ripoff is a bad one. I like that. That would be a bad amputation.
Yeah, it's a good joke, except for the fact that I get too technical and actual. Like, oh, he said amputation, so it must be something with... I was sitting there thinking about cleavage, for God's sake.
You know what the problem is with the bad amputation?
It's a ripoff.
No, but that would work too.
Obviously. What's the problem with the bad amputation, Tom?
It usually costs you an arm and a leg, and then you never want to set foot in the amputation ward again. That's two punchlines in one. Come on.
It is.
Points for effort.
Sure, I'll give you effort points. It was a good joke. Here's the thing. You tell me that you think I should get it, and now the pressure's on.
True.
And now I have two choices. I can either, when I don't, inevitably don't get it because I didn't get it right away, I either have to feel bad about myself or I have to get defensive.
Yeah.
So I lash out at you.
That is a real coping mechanism that Americans use every day. Let's get back to our politics. Talk about the double down.
Let's do it.
All right. Next time we'll talk politics. This time, yes. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Will, for coming on. If you're still listening, thank you for coming on, man. It was really good to see you. And thank you, Doug, for setting that up. It's always nice to see an old friendly face. I'm sorry he didn't have more embarrassing stories lined up for you. But in all honesty, I was pretty good at my job. And, you know, there are probably more fun stories than embarrassing ones. Maybe not by much, but there are probably more fun stories than embarrassing.
Oh, we'll get to those. I feel enabled now. I was able to sneak someone on unbeknownst to you. I'm aware this could potentially happen to me.
You are the manipulator now. You are bringing this on. You are the man in charge, the puppeteer.
The master puppeteer.
The master puppeteer.
It's definitely a ripoff.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. We're sorry that we were a little underprepared tonight. Well, I was underprepared. Doug actually went ahead and lined up a guest and went all out. But sorry that I was a little underprepared and I was a little flat tonight. Promise I will have more fire next time. We're talking politics. So you can rest assured I'll have opinions for next week. Thank you for listening. Like us, share us, please. If you like what you're hearing, if you like any of these episodes in particular, share it. Help somebody else find us. That helps us a lot. Check us out on Patreon.
Yeah, check out the Patreon. It's newer at this point, and we're trying to get some special content and some the extra little deal that we can here and there for you guys. So check us out. Just a cup of coffee a month. And we've got and I like my coffee.
He likes his coffee and his cheap whiskey.
Not at the same time.
Not together. No, that'd be weird. A little Irish coffee. A little Irish whiskey in the coffee is not bad.
Too early.
Yeah, all right. We've also been taking some feedback from listeners. Thank you to everyone who's kind of reached out to us and provided us feedback. Thank you for suggesting topics, for telling us where you think we hit it out of the park and where you think we took a swing and a miss. We do appreciate that. Please send us more feedback. If there's a topic you want to hear on being told we should talk more parenting, if there's something you want help with or you want to talk about, I've had a couple of guys reach out to me on some sensitive topics privately lately, but no one's kind of given me permission to share it. Let us know. We're happy to talk about what you guys want to listen to. Because at the end of the day, we just want to keep you tuned in.
What he said.
Yeah. What I said. Always what
Michael
I said.
Michael Scott, Master Wayne Gretzky.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. See you next week.
Good night.